month. A lot going on. A lot going on in the world. A lot of things changing. We have a new president. There's immigration changes, policy changes. There have been plane crashes, sicknesses, illnesses, disease, deployments, deaths. You know, Linda and Ed are back. Linda lost her brother. And we're just so glad to have you back. I discovered as I sent a text message, I discovered a week later, I never hit the send button. I just stopped doing my voice recording. And I've done that with many of you. I'm like, oh, I didn't send the birthday message. I stopped hitting it and thought I hit send. So my apologies. I thought it was ill-placed 2 weeks later or whatever to try and send it. But we've been lifting you guys up with the loss of your brother. But there's a lot going on in this world. There's a lot of things to pray for. There's a lot of things that we need help with. Let me ask you a question. Who today needs hope? Go ahead, Ray. Oh, Lord. Okay. I don't have that many signs. Okay, who needs hope? Okay. I asked again and I saw two hands go up. So today we have hope. And I'm going to give you hope today. Okay? And when you feel that that has been used, you may pass on that hope to other people. Kathy, here is your hope as well. And it's the same thing. When you feel that you've received hope and you can sustain it, then you can pass that hope on to other people. Because that's what God wants us to do with His gifts. He wants us to pass those on to other people. He comforts us. Why? So that we can comfort others in their time of need. Remember a couple weeks ago, and I read the Christmas story. For those of you that weren't here 2 weeks ago in January, that's when I read it again. And I said, the Advent season is over, but the message is not. The Christmas story season is over, but the message is not. It says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. That today gives me hope. And don't think for a second, oh, he's doing the Christmas story again. For the third time since Christmas. I'm not. I'm just saying that we have to remember those things throughout the year. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring good tidings of great joy. Remember that. That's not just the Christmas time that he gives us that. Which will be to all people. It's for all of us. Man. We're going to come alive in 25 for our faith. With that in mind, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us. I changed it up a little bit and said, let us. And I read a couple weeks ago, there were different phrases. Let us rejoice. We will rejoice. And some just simply say, rejoice. Just do it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. It's in the Old Testament. It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Ezekiel. No, it's in the Old Testament. Chapter 37. And my message today is, are you alive? Are you alive? We have a message of come alive in 25. I've got to ask, are you alive already? And you may think you are, but we're going to check a little bit and see. And that's a dangerous thing to find out. Oh my goodness. I looked human, but I was dead. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. 1 through 3. And it says, for the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can those bones come alive? So I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. He pointed out that the bones were very dry. And why did he point that out? They had been dead a long time. They were very dry. When we look in the mirror, do we see ourselves as alive or very dry? I'm not talking about the weather. Oh, I'm dry every day now with the weather. I'm talking about spiritually. Are we very dry? Are we dead? Verse 4 through 10 says, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise. By the way, when dead things come alive, there should be a great noise. And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to breathe. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So if you'll notice in there, they looked human, they came together, and they looked human, and skin came on them. But there was no breath or no spirit. And at the end of verse 10, he said, there was an exceedingly great amount. A great army. Now back then when armies were defeated, they were very large armies. And when they were defeated, a lot of times they would come and take everything off them and then just leave them there. Too many to bury. And so there was this valley of dry bones. And he's walking through it. And again, they're very dry bones. They've been dead a long time. But God commanded them to come together. And had Ezekiel call them. There, listen carefully, there are a lot of great armies that have no breath or no spirit in them. I do not want us to be an army that has no breath or no spirit in it. Mighty is our army. Big deal, you've got no breath. You're the walking dead. My dad used to have a saying in a place he worked, and when he was preaching for that matter. And he said, like a tree, if you're dead, fall down, so we don't keep counting you. In the army, we need soldiers that are alive, that have breath and have spirit. Amen? Prayer of faith must come alive in 25. It's not just a cute saying. It's something that needs to happen within us. These bones came together. And they looked human, but they had no breath. An exceedingly great army. Now verse 11 through 14 says this. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Let me just stop for a minute. In the midst of this, and in the midst of our dry bones, is the enemy. And that enemy is powerful. And that enemy is there plucking our flesh off us, leaving our dry bones. And the devil doesn't give up. You know, I was driving to church this morning. Oh, a different route, by the way, in case you haven't figured out. Anderson Road is closed there. But I came a different way. And I passed some roadkill. There were some very large birds going after this roadkill. And as my car was barreling down on them, they moved out of the way. But I kind of glanced back and then I looked in my mirror and I thought, they went from here to the fence line right here. They didn't go far. And as soon as my car was passed, they went right back. And that's the devil. He doesn't go far. Don't think I've defeated the devil. I don't have to watch out anymore. Be on guard 24/7. Be vigilant to watch out for the enemy. I just thought that was important to watch out for roadkill. And I appreciate that so much, Kathy, passing on hope to somebody else that needs it, that raised their hand. That's a little touching, to be honest with you. That's powerful, isn't it? That's what God wants us to do. I've used it. Let me give you some hope. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.'" You ever felt that way? My hope is lost, and I feel cut off. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, or that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Man, it is so important for us to understand that when he speaks it, he will bring it to pass. "You shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it." Sometimes we don't understand. "Lord, when will you perform this?" Well, I did a year ago, and I did for you again 6 months ago. And do you remember just yesterday when I performed it again for you? I didn't see it, Lord. We're not looking. We're not paying attention. We're not seeking him. If we were seeking him, more than likely, when we seek him diligently, we will see him perform. And I don't mean perform as in an act to entertain us. I'm talking about perform what he says he will do. The stuff that he will do in our lives. And I thought, when we feel like we are the dry bones, and we feel like we are dead, and we've lost our hope, and we think, "Lord, I'm cut off." God, are you there? Are you really there? Because it's dark right now. Could you imagine standing in the midst of that? Thousands and thousands of dry bones and walking through there. And then seeing those bones brought together and standing upright. And then saying, "But there's no spirit in them. There's no breath in those bones and there's skin around them now." God, could you breathe life into those bones and into that skin and into that body? And God does that. And all of a sudden they're walking around with life in them. God himself will put his spirit in you. and you shall live. God, could you do that even for me? Remember a couple of weeks ago, I said the pizza guy asked me to pray, and I was telling the story at work, and one of our young people came to me and said, what you did for him, could you do that for me? And it was simply praying for her. I said, absolutely, let's pray. Right then and there. Don't bother me at work. I guess you already said, our words are our testimony. Yeah, I can pray for you right now. Specific, generic, what do you want me to pray about? You tell me, let's pray. And we prayed right then and there. I don't always like telling people I went to Vegas for work. It was work. And there were very long days, but I went to Vegas for work. Go there a couple times a year for work to market. And we went out. And as we're out, having one of the best meals I've ever had in my life, I'm around some of our vendors that took us out. And I thought, you profess to be Christians, but this whole night your words were not Christian comments. And I took two knives and I said, do I need to loan these to you? He said, what for? I said, to gouge your eyes out. He said, the Bible says that. I said, it does, and you better do it because you're struggling right now. And the things you're talking about aren't godly. And I thought, even in Sin City, you can have a testimony. And I thought, just because I'm in a different place with different people doesn't mean I have to act like them and suddenly change my language to start talking like them and behaving like them. And as I took one of the guys back to his hotel, the others said, we're going to go out with some friends. I said, not me. I'm on Oklahoma time, and I'm asleep back home already, so I'm going to the hotel. I'm done. And I took another guy home and was talking about my wife's cousin who lives in Vegas and said, oh, we love it out here. And I did her husband's memorial service, and I did her daughter's wedding out in California. He said, how were you able to do that? I said, well, I'm an ordained pastor. He said, Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I said, for what? He said, our conversation at dinner wasn't that great. I said, it wasn't. I said, but it gives us an insight into who we really are, does it not? And he said, it does. But then all of a sudden his language and his character changed, and he started talking about how great his son was and how big into ministry he is. And as a teenager in school, how he got a Bible study going. And he went to a summer camp and got engaged in that for a couple years. And all of a sudden, the word meant something to him. But when he didn't know that, it was put on the back burner. Our words are a testimony. And we have got to start testifying. We have got to start testifying. When God can take and himself put spirit and breath and life into dry bones, he can do that for each and every one of us. And they shall live. And we shall live. God himself can resurrect dry bones and give that literal life to that which is dead. He can revive his people. Church, he can revive us. He can revive you. Remember a couple weeks ago when I was talking about Jan's comments in Bible study about, I was so excited and I asked you guys, what are you celebrating? What were you excited about at one time that you're no longer excited about? And if it's me, come and tell me. Okay. If it's church, if it's, I don't know, life, and I just got ahead of me and it got out of control, come talk to Pastor Eric or myself. Because this should be life to us. And it should be exciting to us that we can come alive. not just in 25, but at all times. That we can not only come alive, but we can be alive and stay alive and have that faith be sustained. Have that life be sustained. That's what God calls us to do. Hey man, I appreciate you guys coming to the Lord and being Christians. Man, could you sustain it? Could you do it for several years? I think I've told a story here. There was a man in Shawnee, Pastor Eric and I and some of the youth went to the church up there in Shawnee years ago with a Ground Zero band playing. And there was a guy that was, well, when I read the article, he was 99 at the time. He was like 97 or 98. Still serving in the local church. Notice I didn't say still attending. He was still serving in that local church. Now, I get it gets tough as we get older, but man, there's a place that he says, come alive. I want you to be part of this exceedingly great army. I want you to be soldiers. I've got a message for you to spread. I have people I need you to protect. I have hope that I need you to pass on to others. You see, this story is about our faith. This story is about our church. And this story is about us as individuals. It encompasses all of that. Churches die. Exceedingly great armies die. As a matter of fact, there's a thing on YouTube. Imagine that. I know that. Mega churches no longer in existence. And see what happened to them. There are exceedingly great armies that die. There are churches that die. There are individuals that die spiritually. But God Almighty can bring those dry bones back to life, cover them with skin, and put breath and life in them. Amen. And make them a part of His army. He can revive His people. He can revive us and turn us into a mighty army. I know there's some that may feel worthless or hopeless or dead or dried up. And we feel, I cannot be restored. But I'm telling you, if God can restore dry bones back to life, creating a new land for them, rising them up out of their graves, He can restore us through His Word and His Spirit. But we have one thing to do, or maybe a couple. We need to pray to God. We need to ask God. We need to plead with God. Whatever it takes, we need to speak with Him and say, Lord, revive me and build me back into a mighty army. Then wait for Him to answer you and direct you. And part of His direction is right here in His Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. God, guide my path today. God, restore me today. God, fill me with life, with breath, and with Your Spirit today. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much today for Your Word. God, we thank You for this story. God, we thank You for being a God that can restore us, that can revive us, that can build us back into a viable army. God, we thank You for being able to fill us back with Your Spirit. And God, I pray today, if there's someone here, if there's someone listening to us or watching us today or later, God, that they know that they can be revived. They can be restored. They can be used in the army of God once again. God, whatever has drawn them away, I pray today you draw them back to you. God, draw them back to you, to your likeness, to your character, to your spirit, to your love, to your comfort, to your hope, to your peace, to your rest. God, I pray today that we use this altar as a place to speak to you. God, that part of coming alive in 25 is boldness. Lord, it's singing out when I don't like the song, when I'm not comfortable with the words. It's coming forward for prayer when I'm not comfortable standing up and saying, I need prayer. God, give us that boldness in 25. God, I don't want to just come alive in 25. I want to thrive in 25. God, help us to be a people that want to thrive in your presence as a child of God. Help us thrive. Lord, help us as we speak to others that we know and don't know. God, our tongue and our language and our posture. God, guide our purpose. God, change us today. Renew us today. God, restore us today. Revive us today. God, we could make it whatever you want. Revive in 25. It doesn't matter. God, just do a work in this body today. Move your people today. God, I'm pleading with you. Move your people today. In Jesus' name. Amen.